So today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Braj Mohan Prabhuji with us, and he is going to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam 4.8.44. Prabhuji, are you there on this call?
Hare Krishna, yes, I am there. My
Hare
humble
Krishna,
obeisances
Prabhuji.
To all the devotees.
Please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your valuable time and association. You can please take over the call. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Just a minute. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8. Name of the chapter is Dhruva Maharaj leaves home for the forest. Text number 44. Pranayamena trivrita pranendriya manomalam shanair vyudhasya vidhyaye manasa guru na guru. Pranayamena, by breathing exercises. Trivrita, by the three recommended ways. Prana indriya, the life air and the senses. Manaha, mind. Malam, impurity. Shanai, gradually. Bhudasya, giving up. Avidhyayet, meditate upon. Manasa, by the mind. Guruna, undisturbed. Gurum, the supreme spiritual master, Krishna. Translation. After sitting on your seat, practice the three kinds of breathing exercises and thus gradually control the life air, the mind and the senses. Completely free yourself from all material contamination and with great patience begin to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. In this verse, the entire yoga system is described in summary. And special stress is given to the breathing exercises for stopping the disturbing mind. The mind by nature is always oscillating, but it is very fickle. But the breathing exercise is meant to control this process of This process of controlling the mind might have been possible in those days, millions of years ago, when Dhruva Maharaj took it. But at the present moment, the mind has to be fixed directly on the lotus feet of the Lord by the chanting process. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one immediately concentrates on the sound vibration and thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord. And very quickly one is elevated to the position of samadhi or trance. If one goes on chanting the holy names of the Lord, which are not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, naturally his mind becomes absorbed in the thought of the Lord. It is recommended to Dhruva Maharaj that he meditate on the Supreme Guru or Supreme Spiritual Master. The Supreme Spiritual Master is Krishna, who is therefore known as Chaitanya Guru. This refers to the super soul who is sitting in everyone's heart. He helps from within, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, and he sends the spiritual master who helps from without. The spiritual master is the external manifestation of the Chaitanya Guru, or the spiritual master sitting in everyone's heart. The process by which we give up our thoughts of material things is called Pratyahara, which entails being freed from all material thoughts and engagements. The word avidhyayet, which is used in this verse, indicates that unless one's mind is fixed, one cannot meditate. The conclusion, therefore, is that meditation means thinking of the Lord within. Whether one comes to that stage by the Ashtanga Yoga system or by the method recommended in the Shastras, especially for this present age, to constantly chant the holy name of the Lord, the goal is to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manomishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sujivam Advaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Kupesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Sapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Very grateful to all the devotees for giving me an opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, and very appreciative of all the devotees. Instead of staying in all different places, you are regularly trying to chant together and hear Srimad Bhagavatam together, showing that how if there is strong desire, no impediment can stop from performing devotional service. There is this story that when some devotees were held in prison, so devotees didn't stop practicing their bhakti. The devotees were having roaring Mangalarti in the prison, and the japa and the Bhagavatam class and whole day preaching. So the jailer, he got so fed up, he said that these people will make everyone else like them in the prison. They are better off in the streets, and they send them out. So devotional service can be executed in any situation, any place. And Dhruva Maharaj here is taking instructions from Narad Muni on achieving Krishna, on meeting Krishna. And this is a regular thing which you find in the Bhagavatam, where the process of Ashtanga Yoga is being taught to the, say, the Dhritarashtra, or now Dhruva Maharaj, later the the prachetas, and we also see this constantly that Srila Prabhupada, whenever this Ashtanga Yoga or this process of meditation comes, Srila Prabhupada immediately kind of dismisses the relevancy of that in this particular day and age, and he recommends that this is not possible for this day and age, and the best method to practice in Kali Yuga is the process of devotional service, is the process of chanting the holy names. And let's go with what Narad Muni is instructing, and then let's come to what Prabhupada's emphasis is. So Narad Muni is telling Dhruva that, especially because he was so agitated and so disturbed by the insult that was done to him, he was quite angry. Bhagavatam explains he was like a snake that has been stepped on. And usually in such a situation, one is asked to focus on Krishna, then without the process of pranayama and the process of following the regulative principles, yama, niyama, it is difficult to focus. And the method of pranayama is there to regulate. Yama means to regulate, and prana is to regulate the breathing. And breathing is one thing which is there from the point we take birth. We don't breathe in the womb. But from the point we take birth and the point we die, one thing that is constantly there is our breathing. And many times it is unconscious, and there are two nostrils through which we breathe. One is the Surya Nadi, another is the Chandra Nadi. The right side of the nostril is active in the daytime, and the left side of the nose, left nostril, is active in the night time. One heats the body and cools the body. And when there is proper control of the breath, then neither it's too hot, that means too disturbed, neither it is too inactive. And Narad Muni explains Trivrita. There are three types of pranayama which he is telling Guru Maharaj to do. And they are also quite well known. One is the Puraka, Rechaka and Kumbhaka. And Rechaka and Puraka, they are usually combined as Anulom Vilom. We call it as Anulom Vilom. And Kumbhaka is where you forcibly try to take away your air outside. And so these three methods Narad Muni is recommending for Dhruva to follow. And Dhruva Maharaj follows them but he also gives them the goal is that it will help the mind to focus on the Guru, on the Supreme Spiritual Master Krishna. Because currently it is in a very, because the mind is pranayendriya manomalam. There is so much impurity in the mind, so much distraction, contamination, it is not possible. And there is all this process of pranayama and all that. The whole world is very much taking to it everywhere, the yoga and meditation is very popular nowadays. But only thing is that they can't help one to reach Krishna on their own merit. They may help you to get a better health, get a better focused mind. But Prabhupada's goal has always been that the whole purpose of yoga, the whole purpose of meditation, dhyana, is actually to come to Krishna, is to focus on Krishna. Is to focus on Krishna, and therefore, because that ultimate end is not being met, therefore Srila Prabhupada here mentions that it might have been possible thousands of years ago, millions of years ago, but for this day and age it is not possible. And even then it is a aroha panta, it is a climbing process. It is where you, by your own mental efforts, by your own efforts, you try to climb over the distractions or the impurities that are there. But the process of bhakti, the process of chanting, is avaroha panta, is where you are requesting Krishna to kindly help you to come out of your limitations. Therefore, the one difference which is there in the yoga path and in the bhakti path is that in the yoga path, the ego is not touched. The ego, in fact, many times becomes inflated because it is able to fast, it is able to do all these processes. But in the bhakti path, the main game is with the ego. And unless that ego is subdued and checked, the process of bhakti, because you are calling out to Krishna for help, and unless you feel the helpless, and ego usually doesn't allow one to feel helpless, ego tries to put up that you are very powerful, you are very strong. And therefore, it is that ego that doesn't help us to go. And therefore, in chanting, unlike the yoga process, the ego which can become an obstacle is very much to be guarded. I was recently reading Yamuna Mataji's book, is her biography, in that she narrates a story where she was serving in San Francisco along with Gurudas Prabhu, and they were trying to make all types of programs for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, he became sick, and then he had to go to India, and all the devotees were so shattered but because it was Prabhupada's desire, they were keeping up all the programs, all the chanting, and especially because she was a very good calligrapher. She went to the same college as Steve Jobs, Reed's College, and she learned this calligraphy from the same professor as this Apple CEO, ex-Apple CEO, who died now. So therefore, she was very good with all this, making posters. And when Prabhupada came back from India, after a while, they were all very enthusiastic, and last time when Prabhupada came, they had at Stinson Beach, they had acquired a house for Prabhupada which was totally secluded and facing the Pacific Ocean. But But the temple was far away. In fact, I never been to San Francisco, but seems to be that the place where Stinson Beach was there, the road was a hilly road. They had to take a lot of twists and turns, and Prabhupada was feeling very dizzy because of all that. So although he appreciated the place, he said that going to temple is very difficult from here every day. I wish I can be near the temples. And therefore Prabhupada never could come. Even for the Rath Yatra that was done, first Rath Yatra San Francisco, Prabhupada couldn't go because of the whole dizziness that was there. And Srila Prabhupada, he saw when all the devotees brought Jagannath Baladev Subhadra to the Stinson Beach, to his home, he saw a few devotees were not there, especially Malati and others. And Prabhupada asked them, where is Malati? Where are the two, three devotees that were missing from the whole troop? And they say that Prabhupada, during the Rath Yatra procession, somebody was distributing sugar candies. And our devotees took, and they didn't know that these sugar candies had LSD in them. So our devotees ate that, and those who ate, then they are having all this delirium, and therefore they thought it is inappropriate to come. They were not in a proper shape to come. So that's when Prabhupada instructs them that one should only eat prasadam and not anything from anywhere. So the next time when Prabhupada came, they thought their ability to interact with people and make contacts was much more. So they rented a place 2 blocks away from the storefront that was there at Frederick Street. And there, they probably also took one apartment for the place was so big that the secretary and the servant, everybody could stay. And for cooking, Govinda Dasi and her husband, they had come also from New York to help in cooking. And because Yamuna Mataji, she was so eager to serve, and some of the devotees were feeling that in San Francisco, that why did they come? Because we are losing the opportunity to serve. And Yamuna Mataji went to Prabhupada, and she kind of said that, Prabhupada, that why are they serving you? We should get the opportunity to serve you. And Prabhupada instructed her something she says that she took for all the life. And Prabhupada said that the biggest difficulty on the path of spiritual life is envy. That we should be happy when our God sisters or God brothers get an opportunity to serve the spiritual master, and one should be glad with that. But if one becomes envious, that why did he get this opportunity? Why not me? And one doesn't become happy. And then if this envy and jealousy is cultivated, then it is very difficult to progress on the path of bhakti. And Yamuna Mataji says that she took that point very seriously. And she always tried to appreciate others' devotional service. And which becomes a difficulty in the process of yoga mark, because in the process of yoga mark, it's all your achievements and you get the siddhis, you are focusing. But the process of bhakti is where when you call out to Krishna, it is in the mood of humility. And it is not to say that Dhruva Maharaj didn't have humility, but the regular process that is recommended in the previous ages of the Ashtanga Marga has this great impediment that it increases one's ego. And that's why many times it appears that on the path of bhakti, there is no results that apparently come. The mind is still disturbed, the senses are still uncontrolled. And I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but where is the result that's supposed to come? And Krishna, he doesn't give us the results. One of the reasons that is explained is mainly one is to increase our intensity. Another is to not let this ego, this ahankar, to come in the way of advancement. Therefore, Lord Krishna also says that in the section of bhakti, in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam. Krishna says, although this is the highest of the knowledge, Arjuna, this is also the most confidential, most Raja Guhyam, the most confidential of all knowledge. And why it is most confidential? Because usually if you are doing something you are studying in the best of the colleges or you are getting best of the education, then it is natural to feel something very special, something very, that I am better than others. But by Lord Krishna making that Raja Vidya also Raja Bhuya, supremely confidential, because it doesn't seem to be happening. It doesn't seem to be anything that is happening on the surface. And this is to ensure that we don't stop anywhere, because honestly, most of us, we may be practicing bhakti, but the aspiration that we have is relief from miseries, relief from anxieties, mukti. And we are always trying to run away from troubles. And the process of bhakti can usually give us that. But the highest thing that the bhakti is giving is that relationship with Krishna. And if we get relief, either through this Ashtanga Yoga, then there won't be any that feelingly calling out to Krishna. At least in the suffering state, we feelingly call out to Krishna, but as we get more and more elevated, there is a danger that feelingness to call to Krishna can reduce. It all happens all the time that we may come to Krishna consciousness wanting to get spiritually purified, but after a while we may get some position, some... You may influence others to take up to bhakti, and you may have followers. And either you get wealth, you get rich, your material situation increases, or you're spiritually or in the world, your Facebook followers or people may come after you, dhanam and janam, and then you kind of feel this is what I wanted, to be God, to be godly. And now that I'm having this, then that feelingly calling, you may still speak about Krishna, you may still, but Krishna becomes only an instrument for getting dhanam and janam. And Krishna, we have to constantly not let these things come as an obstacle, as something that we aspire for. It is said, more than spiritual satisfaction, devotees seek for social satisfaction, that you are in the society, or you are approved as a good devotee, as a nice devotee. And this social aspect many times takes over spiritual aspiration. And therefore, Prabhupada is emphasizing that if one goes on chanting the holy names of the Lord, then the mind becomes absorbed in the thought of the Lord. So therefore, it is the Shishtashtakam that Prabhupada asked us, all of us, to meditate on, chant regularly. It is very important if we want to achieve results in our chanting. especially this verse of Trinadapi Sunichena Taroriva Sahishana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. This is a verse that is supposed to be applied all the time, but especially during chanting. And sometimes it seems to be that where is this verse to be applied in chanting? Or what am I supposed to tolerate? What am I supposed to be humble about? And but all of us notice that as soon as we sit for chanting, there's so many thoughts that come, that so many services or this or that that you need to get done. And usually what happens is, in one hand there is a chanting bag, and in other hand there is a mobile or something else that which we consider to be important to be done right then. And so this not able to exclusively focus on chanting is because we are not yet humble that me or what I am supposed to do is not as important as pleasing Krishna. And therefore, to constantly remind oneself that, yes, this service is there, or this, I have to do this task, but that is not important compared to me developing my relationship with Krishna. So therefore, Trinadapi Sunichena is a very practical implementation that unless you are humble, you won't be able to focus on chanting, because the mind will show you something else as important, or your planning is important. And so many times it happens that some of the best ideas or topics or things, how to sort out things, comes during chanting, and seems, and although this is a byproduct of properly chanting, but if you make that as a goal, then what is happening is that you are using Krishna instead of being a servant of Krishna. So one has to properly cultivate this mood of humility in during chanting, that yes, this is there, that is there, but I am insignificant, and the most important thing is my relationship with Krishna. Everything else is not that important as this. So therefore, and tolerate all the desires that may come up, all the distractions that may come up. You may feel like going and doing that or this. So even after being humble, if still the desires come up, the different mayas, troubles, mayas, temptations come up, we tolerate them. So one has to be tolerant. And one of the things that I was recently hearing is that you may know this also, that when we plant tulsi, usually we get manjaris. Once I was in Chopati and I saw our brahmachari who has been taking care of the tulsi leaves, tulsi plants since more than a decade, maybe two decades, since 1990. So I saw him, he was cutting away all the manjaris. So at first I thought maybe it is to offer to Radha Gopinath that he is cutting the manjaris. But then I saw it was a huge heap of manjaris that he was cutting. So I asked Prabhuji that, why are you cutting this manjaris? So he said, this is a small plant, and if I allow the manjaris to come now, the tree will not grow stronger. The tree will not grow bigger. The tulsi plant will not grow bigger. So therefore, I have to cut this. I also heard this from one of the talks I was hearing about the mango farmers. When they plant the mango tree, usually when this mango tree is not yet big, it's just a small plant, the mango leaves come, the mango flowers come. You know, mango flowers come means then mango fruits will also come. So the farmers, they cut off the flowers. They pluck away the flowers so that the fruits don't come. And seems to be illogical that he is planting the tree for getting the mango fruits, but when the plant is offering the flowers and then eventually fruits, he plucks them away. And the reason is that if the plant starts to deliver the fruits when it is still a small plant, then it will never try to grow bigger or deeper. So therefore the farmer very consciously cuts away the flowers so that, okay, again it has to grow, the branches have to grow bigger, for the branches to grow bigger, the trunk has to go stronger and the roots have to go deeper. So the farmer keeps cutting till the tree becomes fully strong and fully deep, and it becomes a kind of a mature tree, mature plant, because the farmer is not going to be there all the time. And later when there will be some storm or something comes, although it is able to give fruits because it has not gone deeper, it will not be able to resist all those things, all the storms that will come. So therefore the farmer, for long-term benefit for his future generations and for his farming also to get benefited, he wants more fruits to come, because if it is just a small plant, how many fruits can come? Maybe 5 or 10. But if the tree grows bigger, there will be more fruits that they are able to come. And not just more fruits, but also better stability. And same way, the devotee has to tolerate the immediate results one gets by being a devotee. You get fame, you get so much recognition, this she's doing this or he's doing that. But one should not let these understood to be the results of bhakti, or this is the fruits of bhakti, and many times stop growing there. So sometimes it is the devotee that is conscious about this. Sometimes Krishna himself cuts away the fruits, doesn't allow. If Srila Prabhupada was given the fruits when he was in Jhansi, then I don't know if Srila Prabhupada would have come to United States and established this international society. Because he had established League of Devotees, and it was not working. At one time it was seeming to be people were interested, but then suddenly came Munshi, he gave away that piece of building to property to the women's society, because his wife was there, and Prabhupada was quite disappointed. But then that disappointment, he didn't stop preaching, it stopped his ventures to please fulfill the order of his spiritual master. He kept on trying, and then ultimately the big tree of as Prabhupada says, this branch of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tree that has spread all across in all the countries, in all the cities, has spread across. So therefore, chanting the holy names is the most powerful means by which we can connect to Krishna, but it has to be done with feeling. Dr. Prabhupada explains Bhau Janma Shravana, that even if you chant for hundreds of years, if the proper mood is not there, if the devotee is not conscious of what is he aspiring for, then the results won't come. And in the Ajamila section, there is different benefits or effects of the holy name that are being given. So the first effect of the holy name is some prayaschitta, that you might have committed hundreds of sinful activities, but this is the perfect atonement because this takes away the root of all sinful activities. Therefore, it says, I am hi krita nirvesho janma koti am hasamapi yat gijahara vivasho nama swasti ayanam hare. That Shivadeva Goswami explains that although Ajamil already atoned for all his sinful actions, indeed he has atoned not only for his sins performed in one life, but also for those performed in millions of lives. For in a helpless condition, he chanted the holy name of Narayan. Although he didn't chant purely because he chanted without offense, therefore he is now pure and eligible for liberation. So, the holy name when chanted with in a helpless mood really purifies, and even one such holy name chanted can deliver from all the sinful reactions. And the second effect of the holy name in the section that is explained is that it not just removes the sinful reactions, but also the second effect is bhaktyodaya, that it awakens bhakti, that desire to come to Krishna, that attraction for Krishna is awakened by regularly, repeatedly chanting Hare Krishna. And one of the reasons why we are all still here is because we have tried to chant regularly, repeatedly, and therefore, as we may feel, we don't have attraction for Krishna, but it is like a checkmate. We cannot leave Krishna, nor can we actually fully go to Krishna. But at least some attraction for Krishna has come up. Nan niskritair uditair bhamma vadivis tata vishuddhatya bhavand vratadibhi yata harer nama padair udhavritais taduttama shloka gunopa lambakam. That by following Vedic rituals and other atonements, sinful men do not become as purified as the holy name, as chanting the holy name of the Lord Hari, and it awakens bhakti in one's heart, and it constantly allows us to remember uttama shlokas, guna, qualities, pastimes, attributes by the chanting. Therefore, Prabhupada always emphasized that chant Hare Krishna, because we have to keep chanting, and it is not just 16 rounds and then done, full stop there. But actually, it should be a karma, and that okay, chant more. And then the third effect is samshuddhi, it is perfect purification. The story of Haridas Thakur, that even though he was approached by Maya Devi herself or a prostitute, because he was so purified by the chanting of the holy names that none of those attractions could actually deviate him. And another effect of the holy name is sarva bhava prabhava, that this, it is effective in all types of moods, that either one chants directly or indirectly. Atainam na maapanayata krita sheshaga nishkritam yad asau bhagavan nama mriyamana samagrihat. One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from reactions of unlimited sins, even if he chants indirectly or to indicate something else, jokingly, or for musical entertainment, or even neglectfully. This is accepted by all the learned scholars of the scriptures. So, this is one impact that yes, the best is to chant in the proper mood, but in any mood, if you are either for music or any way indicating sanketyam parihasyam va, that is the next, even if it is chanted accidentally or in times of injury or calamity, sanketyam, to indicate something, oh, here goes Hare Krishna, or parihasyam, somebody makes a fun of the devotees. Stovam helanam evava vaikunta nama grahanam asheshaga haram So it is effective in all situations. And sarva papa pranascha, that all types of sinful activities are removed. You don't have to individually try to remove different 26 types of hell and 20 different types of atonement. That guru naam cha lagu naam cha, guru ni cha lagu ni cha, prayaschittani papa naam, gnatmuktani maharshivi. Authorities who are learned scholars and sages have carefully ascertained that one should atone for the heaviest sins by undergoing a heavy process of atonement, and one should atone for lighter sins by undergoing lighter atonement. But chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, however, vanquishes all effects of sinful activities, regardless of whether heavy or light. Guru ho, either it is heavy or it is lagu. By chanting the holy names, all the effects are removed. And seventh is, it is for sure to act, it is infallible action, achyuta, that just as fire burns dry grass to ashes, holy name of the Lord, whether chanted knowingly or unknowingly, burns to ashes without fail. The main emphasis is that it is for sure to act, agnada-tabha-agnana, uttama-shloka-namayat, sankirtitam, agam pumso dahed edo yatanala. Just like fire will burn for sure, same way the holy name will act for sure. This is the seventh effect. And the eighth is svato nashaka. Svato nashaka again. Some of these are kind of overlapping, but it is effective in all situations. If a person is unaware of the effective potency of a certain medicine, but takes the medicine is forced to take it, it will act even though without his knowledge, because its potency does not depend on the patient's understanding. Similarly, even though one does not know the value of chanting the holy name of the Lord, if one chants knowingly or unknowingly, the chanting will be effective. Yatagadam viryatamam upayukta yadrichaya ajanato api atmagunam Kuryan mantropi udahrita. Narad Muni gives this example of the medicine. Whether you know the power of the medicine or not, you just take it regularly and consistently, the holy name will act. So therefore, as one tries to improve the mode and method by which we can get the purification faster, but the holy name itself is powerful. And if we are calling out to Krishna, just like Ajamila, he was calling out first to his son, and because the name of Narayan is purifying, that calling out eventually called out to his Narayan, to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, chanting is a calling. It is not just hearing, but we are calling out to Krishna very sincerely. So that relationship aspect has to be there, that I am trying to call to Krishna, and the more helpless Trinadapi Sunit, the more we try to apply this verse in our day-to-day life, especially during chanting, the more we'll be able to constantly chant, which is the recommended process that Srila Prabhupada is telling us. Although Narada Muni, he gave him three processes. Dhruva Maharaj was given the process of deity worship, the process of Ashtanga Yoga, and the process of chanting. All three were given to Dhruva Maharaj, and amazingly, he did all these three and perfected in 6 months. And Prabhupada is emphasizing the chanting, because once we chant, then the deity worship, we become qualified. And of course, some of us do, like I myself do pranayama and yoga, or keeping the body in shape, because that is a very necessary vehicle to go to Krishna to perform bhakti. But it is not that the process of pranayama and yoga one will achieve Krishna. That clarity is given by Prabhupada's books. And I thank all the devotees for paying kind attention to whatever I was discussing about the power of the holy name and about how the ego is the main obstacle, and the process of bhakti tries to tackle with that. And unlike other processes which may boost one's ego, one practices bhakti, then the ego will be more and more purified, and one has to cultivate humility in the process of bhakti. And then I discussed about the 8 effects of the holy name. I'd like to stop here and see if any devotees have any questions or any comments or anything that they want to add. Kya Srila Prabhupada ki ki. Yes, Hare Krishna. Any devotees have anything to add?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, and thank you so much for wonderful class for the holy name, how important it is. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you nicely explained the importance of chanting. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, all the best to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji, and thank you so much speaking about chanting. And also, Prabhuji, I have a question, for Tulasi, that devotee was picking up the manjiris and what he was doing with that. It's
he was offering to Shaligram and the deities, making garland or making this offering to them.
Okay. Yeah.
But he was cutting all of them, not just to offer, but also to let Tulsi grow bigger. I'm not an expert in growing Tulsi, so for practical execution, you should consult, say, there are many books about how to grow Tulsi better. But this was one interaction that I had with Prabhuji that I learned a lesson, so I just shared about or why sometimes the results are the fruits are not given immediately.
Yes, Prabhuji, if we don't pick up the manjiris, the tulsi will grow tall, and by growing tall, tulsi will not grow further, you know. But if we cut the manjiris, then tulsi grows like a bushy, you know.
So Krishna likes, that's what he is doing with us.
Nice, Prabhuji, thank you. Anybody else have a question?
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Yeah, this is Gail from Bhakti Center. I was just curious about Hi, Krishna Prabhu. I was curious about this. I never heard about the left nostril, I think you said cools, and the right nostril to something else. Can you explain that a little more?
This is about the bodily structure. If you put your finger near your nose and see which of them is active, most of the times only one is more active, one is less active. So if during the daytime you mainly breathe through your right nostril, because the sun is there, and the sun, so the energy is being taken, the heat, the body is getting heated up, and the left nostril is one that cools the body. And usually by the end of the day, by the evening your left nostril should become active, so that's the sign of proper health.
So active means that the nostril is more open, right?
More open. Uh-huh. The breathing is mainly happening through that.
Ah. And so how is there a way to utilize these functions to enhance our
the pranayama, which is done in the like by devotees or anyone, the pranayama, the anulom vilom, that where you breathe through one nose and then you breathe through other nose, that is to balance these two elements, the heat and the cold, the sun and the moon. So you can learn for your health, for someone from, say, they have some courses in Bhakti Center or in anywhere, you can learn it.
And it was also interesting that you said that yama means regulation, right?
Yeah.
So niyam, does that mean rules?
Yama means niyama is means rules. Usually niyam is not what you should not do, and yama is what you should do.
So but the actual translation. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was interested in the actual translation, of those two words.
Yeah. One is do's, another is don'ts. Yama is do's, niyama is don'ts.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Because the ni means don't, right? The ni.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't do.
Like. Vishesha and Nirvishesha, we use it for us. Vishesha means special. Nirvishesha means emptiness or no speciality.
Yeah, so niyam is the don'ts, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very nice. Thank you so much for class, Prabhu.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, Andhu, Sushila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for a very, very wonderful class. Prabhuji, I have one question regarding the analogy which you gave, that if we won't cut the manjari, then that plant won't grow long. And similarly, the devotees are like appreciating you and you are not so much deep down in your bhakti, then it is possible that you might also fall down. So how to handle such a situation so that we always keeps reminding us that we are not deep down in our bhakti, and all these things which are coming, which is like can distract us from bhakti. So how to make us aware by all these situations, because it comes when we listen, but most of the time we don't listen the same thing, the same analogy, so we might fall into trap of Maya, or we might fall. Yes, so Prabhuji, please.
That's why the goal should be clear. The goal of us, of devotee, of devotion service, is to please Krishna, and please Guru. And if we are not conscious of the goal, and we get some this and that, and we become satisfied with that, so the main trouble is we are not, because we are in the material world, we have come away from Krishna. The deep down desire of the jiva is at this stage, at this impure stage, is not Krishna. And because of that, that causeless unwillingness, as Prabhupada says, that why doesn't jiva want Krishna? Because somehow there is a misunderstanding due to thousands of anadi karma phale, because of all the karmas we have done. So it is really important that we keep our awareness that my main goal is to want to go to Krishna, and if I become settled, just like Hanumanji when he was flying to the Lanka, although so many obstacles came, or facilities came, he didn't stop over, he just continued. So one who doesn't have a strong purpose, strong goal, he can get distracted by the fame or different things that come. Therefore, sometimes the devotees don't even want ecstasy, as we said when he was in Dwarka. Dwaruka, when Dwaruka was offering chamar to Krishna, ecstasy, out of ecstasy, was crying of that. When he was telling his, he didn't want that ecstasy because it was obstructing his service to Krishna. So, because the goal is clear, whereas at this condition stage, our goal is dhanam, janam, sundarim, all this become the goal. Therefore, we have to cultivate that. Therefore, it is a cultivation process. It is again going, the tree grows against the gravity. Growing is to grow against the tendencies that are there. So, the gravity is very strong to pull us down. Therefore, one has to cultivate by hearing, by associating with others that have that desire to grow higher, to grow towards Krishna. Then we also get that desire. Because as the material desires, material situations, they are very bad shelters. They give you a comfort, but then they'll throw you in such a way that we'll be totally devastated. So therefore, one never takes shelter of any of these things. Okay, Mataji? So one has to regularly associate with sincere devotees that have that aspiration, that are also very feelingly calling out to Krishna, so that we also want to do that. Because association is contagious.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Thank you
so much, Prabhuji. Wonderful answer. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any other questions? Who do you have? No, we'll stop here.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Let us end. If nobody has any questions and comments, Vancha Kalpatru Pyascha, Prapa Sindhu Bhavicha, Sakita Nam Pavanadhyaya.